This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is an important football Sunday in Atlanta today. The Falcons, fresh off their bye week, looking to get back on track as they host Jim Harbaugh's Los Angeles Chargers. And welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke along with Joe Patrick. And Joe, it is a nice chilly morning outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We got the heater going, and
chilly is a nice way to. That's a very pleasant word for the way I feel right now, John. But no, it could be worse. It could be worse. And yeah, hopefully we get a good football game today. I'm a little bit worried about it. I don't know about you.
Well, last time we saw the Falcons, it was a hot mess.
Yeah. Right. Well played. Well played.
I mean, geez.
Yeah. To say the least. I actually looked it up. And I couldn't get a great result because I was getting some different answers. I had to use some AI tools to try to figure out when's the last time a team lost a regular season game by more than 30 points and still made the playoffs. And it has happened, but it hasn't happened often. I think there was one in 2016 or there was one in 2012 and 2008. And these were teams that finished the season 8-8.
Right.
I think one of them was a 7-9 Seahawks team that made the playoffs. So, not great teams and not a good omen, I think, for this Falcons team. But, you know, they are in pole position still. For all the negativity that's come of these last two games they've played, you do have to just state the facts that they are still in a decent position to go ahead and win this division from here.
I tell you what. I still go back to everybody wants to focus in, Joe, on what happened in Denver, and rightfully so, because it was such a hot mess. But, boy, I really wonder how much not finishing drives and Kuh missing field goals in the swamp is going to be, you know, that's the game that bothers me still more than the Denver
game. That's the worst loss in terms of what it did to your season in terms of the standings and the win-loss record and what the games you were expecting to win. Obviously, that one was one that was just totally there for the taking. That Saints team was totally beleaguered with injuries. Oh, man. And then to only score, 17 points in that game? And this is a Falcons team now that scored 23 points total in their last two games combined after the offense was looking so good earlier in the season at times. There's a lot for this team to answer to on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It is a Falcons Football Sunday. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke and Joe Patrick. We're in lot 432 right off Northside Drive here as we get ready for the game. Good news for you, of course, is the game is indoors. It's not – look, hey, listen, yeah. I'm old school enough that I was talking earlier this week. I had Steve Barkowski on. And Bart and I were talking about old school, and there were
some
days.
Barkowski, where'd you find him?
He's living like in Montana or something.
Right.
I've known Bart for years. And so Bart and I were talking on the radio, and it was great to have him on. We should get him on this
show. Yeah.
And Bart was talking about some of the days we used to be in Fulton County. In Fulton County Stadium, and it would be like worse than this. And you're outdoors, and you're just like, oh, it was just, you know, like Indiana last night.
Well,
miserable.
Thankfully for this team, they are indoors because, you know, Kirk Cousins is a quarterback who I think I have to think that when he was looking for teams, you know, a team that plays indoors may have been, you know, on a higher priority list, and maybe one of the reasons why he ended up here in Atlanta because of these late in the year games, especially in the playoffs. Probably gives a quarterback like him a better chance to win if you've got the conditions kind of perfect for you in an indoor setting.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show also brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, they come off the bye week. Let's talk a little bit about this. There's a lot of chatter off the bye week. Joe, you were there with the team. Changes for the team at all, or just kind of getting back to basics? I mean, obviously, notwithstanding, and we'll get into the injury situation, notwithstanding just getting healthy, but in terms of mindset of resetting the team, you know, are they going to be making any adjustments on defense given the fact that they were so soft against Denver?
Yeah, you know, they're being very coy about what differences might exist in this team strategically, tactically on the field versus before the bye. I have to think that there will be some changes in terms of the scheme, what they're doing exactly. That's what Raheem Morris was talking about in the press conference before the last press conference with the media before they went on the bye week, was examining some of those things. And he was using these kind of big, broad words like looking at the scheme and the structure of what we do and those kinds of things. So that would tell me that there are kind of big things that they're looking at. Now, they're not going to tell the media in during the week exactly what those are going to be, but he has pointed to some things like offensively they want to use more play action. But in order to do that, you need to get the running game going, first of all, to make that a threat, and also put yourself in down and distances where it makes sense that play action would be, you know, a type of play that would, you know, benefit the team. So there are some things that I think they want to incorporate, but I think the biggest questions, John, are defensively, because this team just hasn't really seemed to have many answers. Even against that New Orleans Saints team, you know, they didn't give up a ton of points, and in the second half it was much better, but to come out of that game and immediately give up a big play to Taysom Hill, you know, you're giving up big plays to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, like, that's just unacceptable, and you've got better players than that on this team, and it feels like a defense that's been less than the sum of their parts. If they were just the sum of their parts, we talk about the good defense being more than the sum of their parts, right? They play better than what their talent amounts to. If this team only played to the talent that it had, it would still be a pretty good defense. It would be a, probably middle of the road defense, but this team is a below average defense. This is a team that's ranked in the mid 20s in most categories. It's just unacceptable, and I have to think there are definitely big changes in store for these next six games on that side of the ball, but it's impossible for us to really tell exactly what they're going to be before we see it on the field.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John and Joe here outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, I'll tell you this, Joe. I mean, I just kind of first blush at the Los Angeles Chargers and what Jim Harbaugh has brought to this team is that they want to play kind of old-school Michigan smash mouth. I mean, they are a physical football team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I really respect Harbaugh for the way that he is able to get his teams to play in like the style, the manner, that physicality that you talk about. Even his Michigan teams and you know, even the San Francisco teams that he had before that and the Stanford teams before that. Like they've all had an element of just this physicality and wanting to beat you up physically. And despite the fact that they have a really talented quarterback, you know, one of these all-everything quarterbacks who can make every single throw on the field, it starts for them in the trenches, and it feels like that's something that the Falcons maybe have lost a little bit with all the skill players and attention to Kirk Cousins and wanting to get them on track. It feels like they've lost a little bit of that physicality and that grit that this team had when they were, you know, in salary cap hell, but you had Arthur Smith that was bringing this like physical wanting to bring that aspect to this offensive line. You kind of built around that. It will be very interesting to see how they match up in that respect in this game.
You know, every game is critical. We have six games to go. You are essentially two games up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you're a game up in the standings, but you're really two games up overall because you own all the tiebreakers. But every game is critical. I think this game is even more critical, though, because you're catching a team coming off a Monday night game that has to go across country, play right at 10 o'clock in the morning on their body clock, right, doesn't have its star running back J.K. Dobbins, who's gone on the IR. You've got a team coming off a bye week that's had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and you're at home. You cannot afford to lose this game.
Yeah, no doubt. No, you're totally right. I think it's the most important game of the season so far for the Falcons, and it's not because of necessarily what it means for the standings. Again, it's like, you know, AFC opponents are never as important as it is in the NFC or especially in the division, but I just think, like, from the mentality of this team and what these next 6 weeks are going to look like coming off the bye, it feels like with where the bye settled in the season and where how the season unfolded to this point, it feels like this is kind of a new season in and of itself, these last six games. And just to get it off on the right foot, I think, is going to be so important for this Falcons team. But you're right. You know, for all the things that are kind of going, I think, in the Chargers' favor in terms of schematically and statistically and what these teams are on the field, I think that there are some indirect reasons why indirect advantages that the Falcons team has in terms of the Chargers having to come across the country, like you said, maybe, you know, playing on that weird body clock, having a short week, having come off a big game, a loss to the Ravens on Monday Night Football last night last Monday. There are definitely things going in the Falcons' favor. They got to take advantage of those things because other teams, like the Saints, were able to take advantage of some of those things against the Falcons a couple weeks ago. So the Falcons have to return that favor today.
We're talking about the Falcons and Chargers. 1 o'clock kick, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John and Joe out here. Wade Ford tailgate show as we bring you the Sunday football extravaganza here. We have an 11 o'clock pregame show inside the stadium, of course, with Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth. 1 o'clock with Wes and Dave, and then stay tuned after the game for the Falcons flyover with Rob Tribble on 92.9 The Game as we get ready for the Falcons in the final six games. And we mentioned this, there is pressure to produce, not just Joe, from a standpoint of, hey, listen, we've got to keep pace or try and improve our position against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South. But for coming off, you don't want three straight losses either. I mean, if they stumble out of the gate here against the Chargers and head to Minnesota, there are going to be a lot of questions surrounding the team.
Totally. I mean, it's like these next two games are so important for this team because of the stretch that they've been on and with where they are in relation to the Buccaneers. Again, they are in pole position at this point, and the fact that they had that tiebreaker is absolutely crucial at this point, but that could all go away if you don't get results in some of these games. And if you look at their schedule compared to the Buccaneers have an easier schedule from this point in, because they don't have games against teams like this, against the Chargers or the Vikings anymore. They've got a pretty easy schedule coming in, and the Falcons, they've just got to kind of right the ship. You know, they've got to get that good winning feeling back in that locker room to give them some confidence, I think, and frankly to give these fans some confidence. I've really felt it. You know, it's really kind of sapped out of this fan base these last couple weeks, and rightfully so, especially after that Broncos game. I mean, it just makes you feel almost despondent to see a team go out there and just not perform. Almost, you know, I hate to, you know, judge effort from these guys, but that's how it felt, I think, to a lot of fans watching that game. You got to wash that out of your mouth as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, to stand there and let a rookie quarterback pick you apart without any pressure, without stunning, without changing his eye line, and you just let him just stand back there and pat the ball and throw it on you, I mean, it was so wholly unacceptable that you went, what the hell is going on?
Gross. Yeah, I know. And this Falcons team allows 72% completion percentage. Opposing quarterback complete 72%.
I mean, that is not acceptable.
That's the worst in the NFL. You're right, it's totally unacceptable, especially for a secondary that's as talented as these guys. I don't think that, you know.
Well, but you can't cover guys for 9 seconds either.
Exactly. You can't cover guys for 9 seconds. And if you're giving 9 yards of space off the line, then, you know, you're going to give up completions. It's impossible to cover somebody that's that far away from you. And it's especially frustrating to see that kind of coverage when this team was in the defensive red zone and they're still playing off coverage and allowing Bo Nix to kind of dice them up with some screens and such. Give Sean Payton credit, but they've got to go back to the drawing board. Again, I think this is where it's on Raheem Morris as a defensive-minded head coach. he's got to, you know, implement some ideas, identify problems for this team, and understand how they can be fixed on the field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they do come with a little bit more. They have the lowest pressure rate in terms of blitz rate in the NFL. I don't know why they don't stunt. I mean, the one game you can kind of point to was that Dallas game where they were sending Caden Nellis. I was like, where was that?
Yep. Everybody loved that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Do more of that.
It produced great results.
Right, it produced great results. I mean, do more of this. Die with your boots on was kind of my theme all week. Mm-hmm. Look, don't just stand there and let somebody pick you apart. If they beat you over the top, okay, fine.
Right.
You know, I mean, but at least you don't put your playmakers on defense in position to make plays. You've got Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, and A.J. Terrell, and you've got Grady still. You've got a ton of playmakers out there on defense. Today we'll get Troy Anderson back. You got Caden Ellis. You've got playmakers on defense. Put them in a position where they can make plays, and they don't seem to do that.
Yeah, no.
I mean, all right.
Well preaching, said.
I hear the choir.
Well
I'm preaching.
Say
I know.
Less.
It is the Falcons and Chargers today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wait for tailgate show. John and Joe from Lot 432, right off Northside Drive. Do drop by. Of course, it's going to be a quieter tailgate today.
It's a holiday weekend.
It's a holiday weekend, and it's 32 degrees.
Yeah, it's a lethal combo.
Quick break as we come back and look around the NFL a little bit later in this hour. Next up, what Raheem Morris had to say about the bye week. We'll do that as we continue on the Wayport Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First, you got to identify it, which is the things you got to do when they get back, right? When you're talking about getting into the red zone and really being conscious of it, right? If you increase the unconsciousness of it, the guys will go out there and absolutely be able to recognize those moments when they come up and not get the unnecessary holding calls, right? Some of his technique stuff, getting out too early, getting too fast, timing, things of that nature, eliminate some of the excitement. The discipline that's required in order not to get penalties is another part that's really important to it.
You know, I think one of the things has been, welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, John Frankie, Joe Patrick, that has been disappointing to me among a list of disappointing. I guess it's good, Joe, that we're disappointed in a team that's 6-5 in the first place with six games to go. But we expect a little bit more out of this team in terms of a veteran presence, a veteran leadership. This is a veteran team. It's not a young team anymore.
Yeah.
And so, as a result, you would expect that that stupid things wouldn't happen. I mean, you can get beat on a play, that's fine, but don't do dumb things. This team has a very big veteran core on it. And when you start looking at both sides of the ball, there you got Jake Matthews and Kirk Cousins and, you know, the Bateses and Judons and Simmonses of the world. You got a guy who's been in the league, Grady, Onyemata, who've been in the league a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't make these dumb little rookie first-year mistakes.
Yeah, you know, and something that Raheem Morris has talked about that the team is good at, but I kind of disagree, is on the penalty situation. You know, Raheem Morris will always say, we're not a highly penalized team, we're a well-disciplined team, but it doesn't seem to be the case. And maybe one of the reasons it doesn't seem like that is that if you look at the penalty statistics, the Falcons actually are not a very highly penalized team. I think they're about like top third of the league in terms of total penalty yards, that kind of thing. But almost all of the vast majority of Falcons penalties have come on offense, where they rank much higher penalty wise. And that's what makes it seem like they're such an indisciplined team, is because they will have a holding penalty in the red zone or something like that just kills a drive and just, you know, puts this team off track. And I believe they only have one defensive pass interference this year, John. And to me, that's actually not enough. I think you want to have more defensive pass interferences than that. You obviously never want to have a penalty on any given play, but the fact that this team only has one defensive pass interference says to me that they're just not playing tight enough in coverage.
Yeah, I'm a press coverage guy.
So am I.
I'm a single high safety. I'm not a Tampa 2 guy. You've got two safeties, put one in the box. You know, have him run blitz, have him blitz, have him pick up the tight end, because if you can't have Nate Lamont cover a tight end, Jesse Simmons can.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm a box safety guy, and I believe in press coverage and saying, look, if Ladd McConkey today can go out and beat A.J. Terrell, then Ladd McConkey could beat A.J. Terrell. But don't just sit back there and let him throw it free to Ladd McConkey and let him run and try and make a juke.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, and I'm especially worried about Ladd McConkey in this game because the Chargers have been utilizing him almost exclusively out of the slot. And the Falcons have been really poor against slot receivers. They really don't have somebody who's figured it out yet this year. D. Alford has been much worse this year early on in the season than what he was the last couple years, really. When they've tried to play Richie Grant as like a nickel safety, that's gone terribly for them. They really have not been able to have someone. Clark Phillips III, they just have not been willing to play him on the inside, probably because of his size and, you know, the you need that nickelback to be stout against the run.
Antonio Hamilton is going to be back today.
Antonio Hamilton, I do expect him to be back today, so he would probably be the guy who gets that role against Ladd McConkey, but I don't think Hamilton's been particularly good either, and part of that is just because he's been hurt a lot, and I feel like there's just been rust to his game when he's come on to the field. So that's going to be a huge matchup, and I'm glad you pointed it out, John, is who is going to be able to stick with Ladd. Honestly, it might be the role that you would put your best corner on in A.J. Terrell, but I just don't think that they're going to have A.J. Terrell kind of go into the slot and travel around with him like some other coordinators might do.
Well, you mentioned Justin Herbert. I mean, if he doesn't have J.K. Dobbins, who's now on the injured reserve, that's going to limit, you know, him a little bit in the run game. Though, I will say this, unless the Falcons make a change to their scheme.
Right.
Anybody can run up the middle on the Falcons. You can run up the middle on the Falcons.
Right.
I mean, to me, the most frustrating thing about this team, of all the frustrating things, are 7-yard gains up the middle, in between the guards, not the tackles, in between the guards on first down every single time. I just run up the middle, second down and three. I mean, it drives me bananas. I mean, everybody likes to focus on the lack of sacks, which is something, but the inability to stop teams from running the ball right up the middle on you on first and second down so that they get third down and one and third down and two instead of third down and eight just drives me batty.
Yeah, Falcons are 10th worst in the NFL in yards allowed before contact per play. They're also 10th worst in stuff percentage, which is just the percentage of time that you're stopping a run for zero or less yards. So, yeah, I mean, there hasn't – I wish there was some positive that we could spotlight on this Falcons defense, but there hasn't really been one. And I think the thing that's most concerning about it is just – it's surprising. It's surprising to me because of what you mentioned earlier with this team being a veteran-led group now, and that's obviously offensively with Kirk Cousins and everybody, but on defense, like you said, you've got Justin Simmons you've brought into this team. You've got – you know, David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett on the interior, you would expect them to be more stout, especially in these types of situations, and they frankly just haven't been. And it's never been Grady's game to be that like a true run stuffer. He's been more of a gap shooter type of player, an explosive player, and I don't want to get on him. I actually think he's been the Falcons' best defensive lineman by far of any in that group. It's really, honestly, Onyemata and some of the other interior defensive players that have not performed.
All right, I'm gonna. Yes, they haven't, and it's on them, Judon and stuff. I understand that, but also I'm going to give them a little bit of a backup here. And the backup is that if you're going to play a 3-4, you have to have a B.J. Raji, a Vince Wilfork, a Gilbert Brown. You have to have somebody that's 350, 370, who a refrigerator Perry, somebody who can take the center and a guard and just go.
Yep.
Clog up that entire middle. They don't have that guy.
Yep.
Well, I mean, to the degree that they would, they have it. It's maybe Eddie Goldman.
It's Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman is that guy. And here's my thing. I don't think he's getting enough reps. I don't think he's getting enough opportunities. He's actually grading out pretty well for this team, but he's just not getting opportunities outside of this base defense. And I'll be interested to see, again, when we talk about what this team is going to change coming back from the bye, I think a lot of those things have to do with how many reps certain guys are getting. Eddie Goldman, can you play him in nickel packages? They have not been doing that. I think this Falcons team that because this Falcons team hardly gets into their base defense. It's why Eddie Goldman hardly doesn't have many reps this season. But if you play him in your nickel packages, that's going to take a lot of the pressure off those inside linebackers, especially to, you know, be forced to make some of those run stops. You want them clean so that guys like Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis can roam free and run free, not impeded by blockers, and be able to take down the ball carrier. So I agree with you. That's been an element of this game, their game, that's been missing so far.
Does that include Zach Harrison?
For me, wanting to get him more reps, absolutely. I think it's actually a travesty that his reps have been reduced. He's on pace to have about 100, basically about a 33% reduction in snaps from his rookie season. That is just, I don't even know where to start with that. And I get that, I think if you were to, you know, ask the coaches about it, part of it that plays into it is that he's transitioned from being an edge guy in Ryan Nielsen's scheme last year to an interior defensive lineman and on this team where they have a lot of proven talent, and, you know, rookies obviously have been a big talking point in that area as well. But still, he's one of the higher graded guys. He looks powerful and dynamic to me when he gets on the field. He's the only guy I've seen on this Falcons interior defensive line that is actually, like, blowing up his opponent. Not every time, but has the capability of doing that. And I know that he's got the kind of long arms, the physical profile that Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot were talking around draft time about guys that they liked, and one of the reasons why they went with guys like Ruk Aroro and Brandon Dorlus, these long arm kind of guys. And I just want to see more of him. I want to see more of what he can offer this team. And it's unfortunate that he has not been able to have those opportunities on the field.
Well, when you look at the Chargers, McConkey's their leading receiver. Again, Dobbins is out. Justin Herbert has had kind of an up and down year. There is a couple of interesting stats about him. One, he's only thrown one interception all year long.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
But on the flip side, he's been sacked 27 times.
Yeah.
So you can get to him. That Charger offensive line is not great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they're not. And like, they're going to want to run the ball in this game, and you're right. Like, they've got to get after him. It's an interesting one with Herbert and this Chargers team right now, because I just feel like he doesn't have the weapons around him. Like, they will put around him in the years to come, and Ladd McConkey is a start to that, but he really doesn't have those truly explosive game-breaking receivers.
Well, not after they lost Keenan Allen. They don't have any down presence.
Yeah, they've got nothing.
See, this is one of the reasons that everything with Herbert is short, and even shorter.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So everything is bubble screens, everything. That's why McConkey leads the team in receptions.
Right.
Because it's just flip it out to McConkey. I mean, they don't go downfield. So you could cheat that a little bit if you're the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I talk about single high safety and putting somebody in the box.
Yeah.
You know, you could cheat that a little bit, especially if you don't have Dobbins. Now you don't have that the big kind of breakaway run threat. So maybe you can add that in there, and maybe you can kind of contain him that way.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I just say it's interesting, too, because of this, you know, Justin Herbert as a quarterback and what he offers. Like, he has maybe the most arm talent in the NFL, just in terms of pure arm talent. The throws that he can make are unbelievable. And maybe this is something that the Falcons will need to be aware of today, John, is his threat with his legs. I mean, he's a mobile guy. Jim Harbaugh is very willing to run him, you know, at the goal line in scoring situations. That was highlighted by NFL Films just last week. So they're going to have to he's just a dynamic player that, to your point, doesn't turn the ball over, and that's where a good quarterback play starts.
All right, let's flip it on the other side here. When we talk about the Falcons' offense or lack thereof last couple of weeks here, one of the questions that we were discussing this week on my shows, Joe, was something that, and this is just a personal thing with me, I think Zach Robinson's done a pretty good job of growing. The last week they got behind the chains and then just got in their head, and it all went to hell the last game against the Broncos. But one of the things I'd like to see, okay, I'm not going to say I don't understand. One of the things I'd like to see is I would like to see them put Bijan and Tyler on the field at the same time. I would like to see Bijan be the slot guy coming in motion. So if you're snapping it to Kirk Cousins, here comes Bijan. Somebody's going with seven.
Yep.
And you could either flip it to him, and he can go around the edge and go over there because you're going to get your blocking tight end back today.
Yep.
That's a big deal to get Charlie Warner back. And then now you either go with that, and if he vacates, then that's Tyler Algier right up the middle. So you get that kind of RPO option going. I think they ought to put, I know that they do a lot of pre-snap motion, but I think seven changes the concept of the preset because now you got two running backs.
Right, because of what he can do with the
right,
ball in his
exactly.
hands and how you can get the ball in his hands. Totally agree with you. And I would say even a more broad theme to this, and exactly what you're saying, John, is there needs to be more misdirection in this team offensively. And like, motions and shit, pre-snap shifts are part of that. But early in the season, it was a similar problem for them. Then they were able to implement some of these motions and things that started to produce that misdirection aspect to the offense. And it feels like the last couple weeks, at least, teams seem to be catching on to maybe what Zach Robinson's doing a little bit, or the motions are becoming more predictable, and they've lost that kind of misdirection element. So they need to get that back, and I think that your proposal is a very good one in that, you know, part of the way you can do that is present a bit of an option element where you get two running backs on the field and you don't know which, you know, defenses don't know which one of them is going to get the ball, and they have to cover both wide areas and the interior. And if that's the case, then you can figure that, you know, both of them are going to have more success.
Well, I think if you use Bijan Moore slash and say, look, Tyler's going to get 15 plus carries a game, you make him the feature running back because he pounds on defense. Everybody's clamoring for Tyler. We all understand this. If Tyler Allgeier leaves this team at the end of this year, he's going to go somewhere. He's going to rush for 1,200 yards and score 20 touchdowns, and you're going to go, what the hell were you doing with this guy? We all know how good he is. He's a feature running back in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, they need to – yeah, I mean, he's a good enough team to produce for this team right now. So they've got to figure out a way to use him. He can't just be a guy you bring in at the end of the game when the game is already won. You've got to use him as a way to win the game. You know what I mean? There's a difference there. So I totally agree with you. They got to figure out a way to get him involved. And the stats show that when he does get a certain amount of carries,
Falcons
win games.
Yeah. Duh. Hello. I mean, it's not hard. You know, you start doing money ball, you go, eh, you know what? That actually kind of works. Yeah, so I don't know. It's a little bit of frustration on both ends. Such a big game today against the L.A. Chargers. Falcons got to get back. Boy, I tell you what, if they can win this, I think we'll go to the Minnesota game next week and we'll have an entirely different attitude.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and if they win this and Carolina beats the Bucs, and you're 3 up with 5 to go, I'm going to be feeling pretty good.
That changes everything,
for sure. Yeah, absolutely. We will look around the NFL and talk about that Carolina Bucs game and much more as we continue Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a chilly football morning in Atlanta as we get ready for the Falcons and Chargers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Counting down to kickoff, final six games of the year starts with a showdown against the Lightning Bolts. Show me your Lightning Bolts. I used to work, Joe Patrick, at the Chargers flagship in San Diego when they were the San Diego Superchargers, San Diego. That was an interesting franchise. Here's a little bit of trivia, by the way.
Sure.
The Chargers, of all the teams that have played in Los Angeles, are the only true Los Angeles team.
Explain.
The Rams moved from Cleveland.
Oh, right.
The Raiders moved from Oakland.
Rams moved from St. Louis, didn't they?
No. The Rams moved to L.A. from Cleveland.
Oh, did they? Oh, okay.
And then they moved to St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
And then they moved back.
Okay.
And they were the L.A. Rams for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Cleveland Rams became the L.A. Rams. St. Louis Rams
was
back to L.A.
The Jack Youngblood Rams, were they playing in L.A.?
Was
that L.A.?
That was
okay,
the LA
okay.
Wow, Roman
okay.
Gabriel.
I didn't realize they moved around that much.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, they were the L.A. Rams forever and ever. And the Los Angeles Rams, and we were in the same division in the NFC West with the L.A. Rams and the San Francisco 49ers and the Saints.
I remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and so then they moved to St. Louis, and then they moved back to L.A. So they originated in Cleveland. They were the Cleveland Rams. And the Raiders, of course, were the Oakland Raiders, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
The Chargers actually began their first year in all of football as the Los Angeles Chargers in 1961. They were owned by the Hilton hotel chain, Baron Hilton, and after year one, they moved to San Diego.
Huh. Wow.
So they're the only original LA team.
As the world turns, you might not know about this about me. I was actually born out in that part of the country in Southern California. Lived there for my first 6 or 7 years of my life. And picked the Chargers just because I liked them. And I might say something that you might find blasphemous, but because you mentioned the Superchargers and all that, I actually don't like the baby blue. I think the best Chargers uniforms are the navy blue uniforms with the navy blue helmet.
Well,
they're going to be in. I think they're wearing navy blue today.
Yeah, but you're a Dean Spanos, Alex Spanos Charger. Yeah, because Charger fans didn't like them. They wanted those navy blues.
That was my earliest memories.
No, Natron means business. Come on, you got to be.
does matter.
Come on, Hacksaw, you got to do it right.
Love the navy blue charger.
All right, so the NFL this week, of course, already underway. Four games already in the books. The look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Hatfield says put some pork on your fork, which is a good thing to do here at the Wait for Tailgate show here. Of course, Thursday, triple header. The Bears beat themselves there at the end with one of the worst clock management situations ever in the history of the NFL, handing the Lions a 23-20 win that let Detroit go to 11-1, and then shortly thereafter it was such a horrifically bad botch job by Matt Eberflus, they fired him. And rightfully so. The Bears have lost six in a row. Thomas Brown is the interim coach. I have a prediction for you.
Yeah.
Next head coach of the Chicago Bears will be Lincoln Riley.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well, USC wouldn't mind leaving him. I mean, yesterday they got blown out by Notre Dame. USC would be like, okay, go.
Yeah.
You know, we can get out from underneath your contract. And what did the Bears want? Caleb Williams' head coach.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I guess that makes sense. But I would not like it if I was a Bears fan. That would be my initial.
Cowboys won at home against the Giants on Thursday. It was the first time the Cowboys had won a game at home since December of last year. How about that stat?
Wow, that is insane that they had not won a home game yet this year.
No. December 30th, 2024.
I want to say they hadn't even scored like a touchdown at home. There was like some crazy stat about their offense at home, too. Just insane, because last year they were so dominant at home. They won every game at home.
The Packers also won on Thursday to go to 9-3. Packers are playing really good.
And
the
good.
Dolphins were called out by their linebacker, Jordan Brooks, who said they turtled up and they were weenies. They were afraid to hit anybody because they were too cold.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, the weather got in their heads.
Yeah, well, I saw, you know, people kind of getting on Mike McDaniel's case for like kind of he was like shivering on the sideline while he's calling the plays and stuff. Just not a good look for that Miami team.
And then of course on Friday the Chiefs went to 11-1. They may be the worst 11-1 team ever.
No kidding, it's unbelievable. They're like getting all
every call, every break.
Yeah, I feel like commentators give them credit for having this now NFL record of consecutive wins and consecutive wins in one score games, but to me that's just a sign of an incredibly lucky team.
Right. And it
helps when you have the refs on your side too.
They're 11-1 is 11-1, you know. I mean, now of course the big story is the Raiders, not the Chiefs, because we'll see the Raiders on Monday night in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And guess what?
Yep.
Guess who their quarterback is gonna be? Desmond Ridder. How about that? Well, Gardner Minshew offered the year with a broken collarbone unless they make a move,
right? Aiden O'Connell played against the Chiefs. He came back, and so I...
Come on.
Yeah.
No, we want Dez.
Oh, we want Dez, I think, for sure. But Aiden O'Connell, he was looking decent in that game. Did you see the end of it the way that it ended with a fumble? It was like a fumbled snap.
I mean, well, the whole thing was botched because, you know, they said false start, no play.
Right, right.
Because the one official's running in off the sidelines, you know, waving his hand, dead ball, dead ball.
Right.
You know, and then they said, no, it's not a dead ball. They meant, wait, how does this help the Chiefs?
Right.
Okay, we say it was a live ball, so it's actually a fumble, and we'll give it to them.
Yeah.
God. You know, tuck rule 2024.
Right, right, exactly.
Today, Steelers are at the Bengals. Also, the Vikings, who we will see next week. All right, the Cardinals. Now, the Vikings, are they going to – now with Daniel Jones in that quarterback room. Now, it's going to be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But
they're slipping a little bit, though. They're not the team that kind of caught the league by fire and winning their, you know, opening five or six games, however many it was. They started unbeaten. Still a good team, obviously, but I think this will be a really interesting test and for Falcons fans to kind of keep an eye on to see what this team looks like against a Cardinals team that's still fighting for the playoffs.
Well, Cardinals are actually a pretty good team. Kyler Murray, who was left for, you know, given up for dead as a quarterback, has actually kind of come back to life.
Yeah.
And so the Cardinals are playing pretty good football, and they look like they could be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Patriots host the Colts today. The Jets are hosting the Seahawks. These are the 1 o'clock games. The Titans are in Washington against the Commanders. Dan Quinn's team, Jaden Daniels, is starting to catch up to them a little bit. They've had some really bad breaks, you know, that have gone against them, but it's started to catch up to them a little
bit. Another team on the Falcons schedule here coming up.
Yeah, and the Texans take on the woeful Jaguars. I guess Trevor Lawrence may be back today. I think I saw something along those lines, but boy, that team is just dreadful.
It's crazy considering, you know, Ryan Nielsen, who I think a lot of Falcons fans have a lot of affinity for what he did for this defense last year, goes to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville has by far the worst defense in the NFL. But I don't think that's on Nielsen. I think that's just lack of talent.
Lack of talent.
Yeah.
As they say, you know, I mean, right in golf, loft is lack of talent. Okay.
Right.
4 o'clock window today.
I heard that one. That's a good one.
Rams are at the Swampers. We'll keep our eyes on that one. But the bigger game, Bucks at the Panthers. Now, Carolina, let's keep in mind, Carolina's going for its third win in a row. I mean, so they won two, had a bye. Now they're going for win number three in a row. Now let's see what they can do today and root for them against the Bucs, because either the Falcons are one game up of the standings, two games up overall on Tampa with six to go. That could be same, a one up, two overall with five games to go, or they could be even, or maybe the Falcons, if we get a break here, beat the Chargers, get some help from the Panthers. And another thing that the Falcons could do today is, since they play at one and the Bucs play in the second window, the Bucs will be a little scoreboard watching.
Right,
don't kid yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And if the Falcons can win this game, the Bucs may start pressing down there in Carolina.
Yeah.
And so maybe you can put a little bit of pressure on them to have to go out there and win that game. And then the Eagles will take on the Ravens. Again, why they don't flex at this point in the year?
Yeah.
It's December, right? It's December 1st today.
It is December 1st, too.
Right. So Eagles and Ravens, which is the game of the week, is in the 4 o'clock window.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Monday night game, which is the Browns and Broncos.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
You know? Or even the 8:20 game, which is the Bills and Niners, which is good, but the Niners are struggling. And by the way, it's going to be brutally cold in Buffalo tonight.
My sister-in-law is actually from Buffalo. She's there right now. She just sent me a text of it's a winter wonderland in Buffalo today. It's all snowy, so yeah, it's going to be tough conditions for those West Coast Niners.
Yeah, good luck for the right. Exactly. You want to talk about turtling up, right?
Yeah.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show sponsored in part by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good, you want breakfast all day? Visit the WSauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. So anyway, some games of the book this week. I still think, just kind of broadly, we're all a little bit down in the mouth. For a couple of reasons. One, the Falcons have played two back-to-back terrible games. There was already a belief that they were above average team to begin with, and we were hoping that they would mature into a better team, and they've actually kind of regressed the last couple of weeks, which is really disappointing. But I think more than anything else is we also have to remember that there's a lot that lies in front of this team. And so if they – I'm going to be this game today. How much did they learn from the bye? Are there going to be scheme differences? Is there, new attitude? I mean, what's going to happen with this team today? Because this game to me today is all about the Falcons. It has almost nothing to do with the Chargers.
Totally agree. It is such an important game for these next 6 weeks, of course, and the Falcons' chances of making the playoffs. And obviously, everybody in this organization is desperate to have this team, back, and if they win this NFC South, they're hosting a playoff game, and that's what they all want here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But, John, it even feels to me like this next 6 weeks are going to go a long way in determining what these next couple of years look like for this Falcons team in terms of how close they think they are to, reaching a Super Bowl, ultimately, is where they want to be, and what is the best path to get there. And I think that how this 6 weeks goes with Kirk Cousins under center, with this coaching staff, with these players, I think there's a lot of the future of this organization on the line. Not necessarily in this game, but I think this game is going to kind of be the first kind of omen we get as to what these next six are going to look like.
Yeah, well, and again, whatever weird reason, and this is not just this team, it's Falcons for as long as I can recall, Joe, have really struggled against the AFC. I don't know why. They've struggled with AFC teams forever. And here we go again this year. You lose to Pittsburgh, you lose to Kansas City, you lose to the Broncos. Now you got the Chargers, you still have the Raiders to go. They just have really struggled. Now, of course, it benefits them if you're going to struggle against one or the other. You'd rather struggle against the AFC. We walked everybody through that at the beginning of the year,
right,
as to why if you're not struggling with the NFC or your own division, you own all these tiebreakers, which is the biggest thing that you have in your hand right now are all those tiebreakers.
Thank goodness the Falcons have them at this point.
Right, exactly. And so, but it's just a matter of, let me put it to you this way. You look at the final six games. You're 6-5, they're 5-6, talking about Tampa. Do you think 3-3 does it? 9-8 get you? Would 9-8 win the division? Would it win the division?
I think it probably will, but I don't feel good about it. I don't think any Falcons fan would feel good about a 9-8 Falcons team, even if they do go to the playoffs. I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day. If this Falcons team finishes 9-8 and loses its playoff game, especially if they lose that playoff game kind of handily
here at home,
do you actually feel any like this Falcons team has made much progress since last year? Granted, they wouldn't have lost seven games or won seven games or whatever. You know, that's kind of become the cliche kind of way to kind of poke this team, this organization. But it wouldn't feel like substantial progress to me. And I think I think a lot of Falcons fans would feel that
way.
Well,
not substantial. Some.
Some.
But not substantial, no.
Not as much as you would have hoped for when you bring in
right.
a quarterback like Kirk Cousins and do all the things that this
and
team
bring
did in
the
offseason.
Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon and a new coaching staff. And,
yep.
you know, and everybody's saying, you know, this is going to be a new look for us, especially when you start 6-3.
Yeah, right. And we're the
and you're running away with it. You had a chance at 6-3 going down to the swamp. You win that game, you are running away with the division.
Yep. And you were 6-3. You were also, just from a narrative perspective, you were kind of, you know, one of the shiny objects for the NFL, you know. You were starting to see all these players get TV time and these interviews and stuff, and not that that's what the game is about necessarily, but it certainly helps. It makes it more enjoyable as a fan to see your players in the kind of mainstream news and being talked about on NFL Network and ESPN, all these things. So, and getting the national games ultimately down the line and seasons to come. So there's so much in the balance with this organization right now, and so much of that hinges on these next 6 weeks, and these next 6 weeks start today.
Well, hopefully they're hotter than the weather outside here. At a chilly tailgate today. Wait for a tailgate show live from just outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium with John and Joe. 1 hour down and 1 hour closer to kickoff between the Falcons and Chargers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.